I'm Evan Kleiman, and this is Good Food. Last year, New York Times Cooking and Food Section Deputy Editor Genevieve Coe joined me for a special Thanksgiving Zoom to help answer listeners' questions to take some of the stress out of the biggest national food holiday. This year, she's back with a laser focus on pies. Hi, Genevieve.
Hi, Evan. Thanks so much for having me back again.
Oh, we'd love having you on the show. Are there ingredients for pies that are trending this year?
I think one thing that's been embraced more and more in recent years, as people learn how to cook with it in different ways, are cranberries, right? That's nothing new. Cranberries and Thanksgiving, you know, it's tales all this time. But for so long, people were most familiar just with, you know, the wobbly cylinder, you know, from the can. And I think now fresh cranberries are showing up more and more on the Thanksgiving table and in desserts as well. You know, I think they're just so tart, and they're not just tart, they're a little bit astringent. And I think as people understand how to then take advantage of their tartness and to really make those flavors shine, to make the lovely flavors of cranberry shine, I've seen it more and more in Thanksgiving desserts and in other parts of the meal too.
So describe this pie that you've come up with cranberries that's also a lemon meringue pie.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am one of those people who loves fresh cranberries. I love all tart desserts. I think lemon desserts are the category of dessert that I enjoy the most. You know, one thing that I actually created for NYT Cooking a few years back, as I remember just like laying in bed and thinking about how much I love cranberries and what I could do with them, were actually cranberry lemon bars. And I realized that, you know, one way to actually really enjoy the tartness of cranberries is to pair them with another tart fruit, and, you know, in this case, lemon. And I loved that flavor combination, but that was a very unique texture, right? The texture of that was very much a lemon bar. And so in this pie, I decided to make a cranberry meringue pie, but it's really essentially a cranberry lemon meringue pie. And so you create a base that is essentially like a lemon meringue pie base, but the way in which you really get the best out of that cranberry flavor is actually by cooking the cranberries down quite a bit with sugar so that those sharp edges of their tartness really mellow out and you're really getting more of their wonderful jammy taste and texture. And then you stir in the lemon juice at the end, as you often do with a lemon meringue pie base. And that way you're getting this very fresh citrusy tanginess along with the sort of deep jammy cranberry tanginess. And it just creates a really delicious base for a meringue pie.
Another pie that you've come up with is in a completely different category. It's the maple pie with blueberries and cream.
Yes.
I don't love cream pies, but there's something about the flavors of maple and the blueberries that are intriguing to me. Mm-hmm. How are these flavors woven through the pie?
You know, I think one of the reasons I love talking pie with you, Evan, is because I think we have similar pie palates. I don't tend to love a standard cream pie because it's all just cream on cream. And what you get in this maple cream pie is you really get that, I think it's almost like a woodsy flavor, the woodsy sweetness of maple. And you create a custard with maple as the base. And I actually cook down the maple syrup first just to really get it as mapley as possible. So I cook down the maple syrup first and then make a standard custard. You know, it's really straightforward. And again, set with just enough cornstarch so that you get a lovely soft set. And I do add a little bit of brown sugar too because I want that sort of deep flavor in the custard, right? So it's not just bland? So that you have a custard base with a really fall flavor, right? It tastes like the equivalent of hearing the crunch of maple leaves under your feet. I love that sort of feeling. And then, of course, I'm a big fan. I actually do love whipped cream, right? And so the cream I leave unsweetened. And the cream is just sort of this tie between this mapley, deeply brown sugary base with a blueberry syrup on top. And the blueberry syrup is really just lightly, lightly sweetened blueberries. And so blueberries, you know, they have their wonderful natural sweetness, but they also do have, you know, just that little bit of tanginess. And what I really love is the effect of eating a slice of this pie, and I bake it into an all-butter crust, right, a blind-baked all-butter crust. It just feels like this wonderful, glorious, like, dream of just the toppings, you know, the blueberry toppings of a stack of pancakes. So not blueberry pancakes themselves, but, you know, you have just great buttery pancakes and then just the whipped cream and blueberry syrup on top. And when you, and then you douse it all with maple syrup, that sort of feeling that it evokes, you know, for me, it feels like just this fabulous diner breakfast, but in pie form.
That sounds so good.
I really love it. I really love it. I kept testing this one over and over again just to make sure I get, you know, just the right set and, you know, just the right this and that. But honestly, I'm sure it was partly because I just wanted to keep eating it.
Another one of your pies that sounds just like dreamy is the eggnog sweet potato pie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tell us how that pairing came about. That's kind of genius.
So I really love, I love sweet potato pie much more so than pumpkin pie. I really just think that the natural sweetness of sweet potatoes is so special. And in this case, you know, this is one of those things where I say, actually, don't start with canned sweet potatoes. You want to roast the sweet potatoes whole because they do develop a lovely sort of natural caramelization when you're just baking the sweet potatoes whole in their skins. And so you already have that base flavor. And I actually just started with a super standard sweet potato filling, you know, evaporated milk, some typical pumpkin pie spices. And it was fine and it was nice, but it was a little bit, not boring, but, you know, it was fine. And I wanted to jazz it up just a little. And I was just thinking of how I wanted more nutmeg specifically. And as I was tasting the filling, I kept adding more and more nutmeg. I realized that what I was getting was sort of a hint of eggnog. And so I swapped out the evaporated milk and used heavy cream instead to get that sort of lush creaminess that you have in eggnog. And of course, a pretty generous dose of freshly grated nutmeg, but also a pretty generous dose of rum. And I did have a recipe tester test with rum extract for anyone who doesn't want to use alcohol. But yeah, there's quite a bit of rum in the filling itself. And when it all bakes together, it's just such a wonderful natural match with the caramelization of the sweet potatoes, that creamy, nutmeggy, rummy flavor. And I bet other, you know, other dark liquors that you can often find in eggnog would work too, if you prefer bourbon or something. I just think rum was a really nice, I added a touch of vanilla too in there, but I thought altogether it made for a sweet potato pie that, you know, you take a bite and you're like, oh yeah, that's sweet potato pie. And then as you're chewing, you realize, oh, hey, what's going on? Like this is, there's just a little more exciting and really warming and cozy and really gets you in the mood for the holiday season.
Yum. Well, as always, it's so great to talk to you about anything culinary, really, but pies especially. Thank you so much, Genevieve.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Evan.
That's New York Times cooking deputy editor and columnist Genevieve Coe. Be sure to check out her Pie Spectacular with 9 new recipes. We'll link to it on our website, kcrw.com/goodfood.